Just three scriptures I have before me. The first being in Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The Gospel of Luke. The 17th chapter, two verses, beginning with the 32nd verse. Luke 17 and 32, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. The same gospel, the 22nd chapter, just a single verse, Luke 22 and verse 48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When I arrived in Montrose, I went to the place where most of us have our accommodations, and the brother gave me this paper, had my name, my wife's name, and family, gave the room number, and he handed it to me. And he said, I'd like to ask you one thing. And he pointed down to the bottom of the paper. It says Gospel 4:15 to 4:30. And he asked me if I would take the gospel. My eye ran over the paper. A prayer meeting. A reading meeting. Young people's meeting. A meeting open for ministry. A gospel meeting. Sunday school, breaking of bread, young people's meeting. A meeting open for ministry. I knew I would be talking to people who were familiar with the Word of God. You have the same thing in common with every one of these that we have just read about. Those in Capernaum, Lot's wife, this man called Judas. You've been to meetings, you've heard the gospel over and over again. What can I say that would move your soul? Well, I just turned to the words of the greatest preacher that ever walked upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent here to preach and to teach. And he did so for 3.5 years. And he spoke earnestly. And he spoke simply. And we've read his words. I believe more than anything else, they were earnest. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. What was the privilege that Capernaum had? Well, the Lord Jesus, when he was growing up, spent most of his time in the city of Nazareth. But when he began his public ministry, he moved to that city of Capernaum. And you read these words earlier in the gospel, speaking about this region of which Capernaum was a part. The people that sat in darkness saw great light. Who would know better the darkness that these people sat in than the Son of God from heaven? He knew their condition. He knew the hopelessness of mankind. And that's what brought him down from heaven to earth. You know, one of the reasons people do not accept the gospel is because they do not believe how awful their condition is. That they are not just unsaved, but lost. The judgment of God hangs over the head of anyone who has not received God's offer of mercy. You're a heartbeat from hell. A terrible condition. You know, I believe not even those of us that have received the gospel and have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior completely understand what it is we've been saved from. But the Son of God knew it. He knew very well. You see, he's the creator. And he's the one that created that awful place, the lake of fire, for the devil and his angels. And he saw my need. And he saw your need. And he came in love. What a sad thing it is to read this chapter. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. What about you? Have you received the gospel? Will you be brought down to hell? After being in such a privileged place, well, we pass on to Lot's wife. Seventeenth chapter. The Lord's words are simple. Remember Lot's wife. She was in a household that received a heavenly delegation. Angels that stepped into that household to pull her and her husband and her children out of a city that was devoted to destruction. Do you understand that your condition is not only one of being lost and hopeless? There's the end. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. And this poor woman, she received a heavenly delegation into her house. They laid hold of her hand and pulled her out of that city that was about to be destroyed in a few moments. But her heart was back there. She wasn't real. She didn't have real concern for what God was concerned about. And she looked back. And I don't believe we're going to see this woman in heaven. so close to being saved from certain destruction and lost forever. The last is perhaps the saddest. Here's a man that was very close to the Lord Jesus. He walked with him for 3.5 years. He knew him very well. He was chosen by the Lord as one of his disciples. He heard the word of the Lord like you have heard the word of the Lord over and over and over again. What kind of place did the Lord Jesus Christ have in Judas' heart? These words are so sad. Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He thought more of his money. We read he did this for money. He was a thief. He thought more of his money, 30 pieces of silver, than he valued the Son of God from heaven. Son of God who had come down here to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of God who didn't seek for comfort in this world, went about doing good, and he had one object before him. He was on his way to the cross of Calvary to shed his precious blood. You know about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing about it. I love to sing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. But the Lord Jesus wasn't precious to Judas. One who was so close to the Lord Jesus, how close was he to Jesus? So close that he kissed him. You can't get much closer. But he had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no place in his heart for the Lord Jesus. Do you have any room for the Lord Jesus? Perhaps some child, some young person, someone who has been to many gospel meetings before. The Word of God gives us these solemn warnings of those who are in special positions of favor and responsibility and turn their back on the Word of God, turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious gift of God, and went out into a lost eternity. Well, these are words of warning. And it's our prayer that each one of you, by faith, would lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ for their very own. I'd like to say this. Our brother Tom spoke about this poem. May my last thought at night and the first in the morning be of a dying Savior's love, a risen Savior's power, an ascended Savior's grace, a coming Savior's glory. You know, the first time I read that little poem, I didn't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. It puzzled me how someone could think or desire to think constantly about the Lord Jesus Christ. But since then, I've come to know him. And can say, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone all my delight. He's enough to fill your heart. He's enough to satisfy you. He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Only believe his word. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank thee for looking upon us in our lost condition. For the pity, for the love that has been shown out so wonderfully in the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are able only to tell out feebly that which is so precious to thee, our God, but we pray that thou wilt use the feeble word that is spoken to speak to hearts, to speak to consciences. We pray that it may be to the salvation of precious souls. We thank thee for this privilege of speaking for thee, our God. We give thee our thanks in that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.